Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
V-Show rolling along here, going down the stretch on a Tuesday, leading up to the round table with the Round Daddy today at 3 o'clock. Yeah, 3 o'clock. I completely forgot our time schedule there. That was ridiculous. My brain just completely farted there. The round table with Round Daddy comes to you at 3 like it does every day here on ESPN 680 105.7. V-Show going on for another hour. The coach, Mark Lieberman, tagging out. Zachy C tagging in. Always good seeing you, my friend.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to give a quick shout out to my paisan, Vinny LoCoco. Evidently, him and his dad are going to the Yankees Guardians game on Saturday.
How about that?
And he tweeted, he said, you know, inarticulate Italian noises.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, which is one of the greatest memes. I love that.
Oh, it's the best meme.
I love that. So I hope he has fun up there. I apologize, paisan. I meant to stop and get you some Provel cheese when I was down in St. Louis this past weekend, and I completely forgot to. So sad about that. It's been a very entertaining show. We got to meet Chief, Keith Pointer's new black lab, who's adorable.
Oh, yeah.
Talked a little bit with Neil Knuckles Greenberg. Talked about how Luke Skywalker almost joined the Empire. Talked a little bit.
See, that's the most important story of the day.
That's what I'm saying.
Sports matters. It's all about Luke Skywalker almost joined the Empire. That's like, I don't know. Like, remember, like if LeBron joined the Dream Team or something like that.
Just some dark. I mean, that's just makes you look at somebody.
Did you see this the other day? I guess they came out with like when LeBron was getting recruited by everybody in 2010 when he did the decision, and the Knicks.
Right.
Did you see the Knicks put out like a Sopranos reunion video to try to woo LeBron?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I just watched it while Knuckles was on. It's very funny.
Is it? Oh, it's God.
I'm like, LeBron, why'd you go to South Beach? How does it get any better than getting the friggin' Sopranos to have a reunion just to get you to New York?
I remember
it's South Beach.
Yeah, but still, right. Paulie's disappointed in LeBron. He probably pointed at LeBron like, you're weak.
With the pinky, yeah.
Yeah. You can't disappoint the boss here, T.
I remember the decision working at UPS, and I remember in the break room they had ESPN on, and the graphic was where people predict LeBron will land, and the entire country was that, like, you know, crimson red Miami color.
Miami, yeah.
And New York was the only one. It was like the Knicks, baby.
They did like, oh, he's having it in Greenwich, Connecticut, so that's a sign.
Yeah,
he's obviously joining the Knicks.
I just remember like the complete delusion that New York fans, myself included, still thought. It was like, no, there's a chance. There's a chance he's going to the Big Apple. No,
do you know what NBA player was in attendance for that?
Which one?
Donovan Mitchell,
that's
right.
He was in the Boys and Girls Club for that.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Greenwich, Connecticut, his old stomping.
Yeah, who else was there? Kanye.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I did not know
that.
For
a Boys and Girls event, like, Kanye is probably somebody you would least associate with going to one of those
events. That was like, now, that was 2010, so he wasn't, like, insane.
He was still sane by
then. Yeah, he was a face. He was a good guy at that point.
I think he was starting his I'm a genius thing, and it's like, all right.
Yeah, he was turning heel.
You can... All right, Kanye, and then it was a couple years later. Then I was like, all right, I think this guy's nuts.
That's around the time where he started to flip. It's like that might have been his Vontaze Burfict, Antonio Brown moment. Like Antonio Brown was normal before Vontaze Burfict beat him up in the playoff game with that helmet-to-helmet hit, and then after that, Antonio Brown's just now become CT ESPN. And
oh, God, dude, he is.
He's been breaking news, though.
He is breaking
news. It's kind of weird.
He's more reliable than half the media these days.
Dude, he is just a wild social media follow.
Oh, I love
like,
it.
It's one of those things. I love it too, but at the same time, I almost feel like guilty because it's like, am I really watching somebody go through like some major CTE?
I have
stuff?
His notifications on for when he tweets. I laugh every time.
It's hilarious, but it is deranged, and it's almost like. It's almost like watching that the slap competition.
Oh yeah,
where it's so compelling, but at the same time you're just watching it. It's like
the one
I am
Dana
watching
White sponsor.
Yeah, I'm watching people like completely ruin their 40s.
Oh, it's the same 50s, feeling I had. It's the same feeling I had before he died. Like OJ would put out all these Twitter videos and be like, "Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly," and he would do like fantasy football stuff.
Yeah,
of course, one of his great moments is he drafted Andrew Luck, and then an hour later, Andrew Luck. Retired.
Retired, yeah.
I'm like, everybody in that room better get out.
Yeah. It was
don't
like,
let OJ in your sight.
My favorite OJ tweet, though, is it's when COVID happens, and I was like, yeah, they're expecting to close golf courses and all this, and he's like, oh, man, I'm going to get so mad right now, and someone responded, all right, how mad are we talking?
Yeah, right. I was like, OJ's going to go crazy if he doesn't get to play golf. Well, how crazy are we talking?
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? Yeah, Pops told the story of how, I forgot who it was, but they were playing golf. There were three guys, and they, you know, the club was like, hey, would you mind if we put a fourth with you?
Sure.
And it turned out being OJ.
Oh,
and just so somebody got to ride in a cart with OJ all day.
Oh, boy.
And so, I don't know. I mean,
boy, what do you talk about if you're in the cart with OJ all day? Did you see, by the way?
You just hope he's hitting his irons well.
Did you see the thing where, I guess, before his kids and his family was allowed to visit him, he made them sign NDAs?
Yeah, you told me that. That is a wild story.
What could he have possibly told them that they're not allowed to repeat to the world?
That's
not sketchy at all.
No, that's a tough look.
Yeah, imagine, like, you're right about to die. Like, yeah, if you're going to come visit me, you got to sign waivers.
Seriously. Like, I mean, I understood Jeter doing it, you know?
Oh,
like,
sure.
Oh, boy. Oh, that's a tough look.
I do like, though, that the day OJ died, it turned into Norm MacDonald Remembrance Day. That's all.
That's right. They just kept playing all of his jokes. Of him just dunking on him.
Yeah, there was like a 35-minute montage of Norm MacDonald doing nothing but OJ jokes. And
yeah.
He eventually got fired over that because one of OJ's friends got mad because Norm MacDonald wouldn't stop doing it. They told him one night.
They were so funny. Yeah,
one night they're like, Norm, you can do Weekend Update tonight. No OJ jokes. So what does Norm MacDonald proceed to do? The entire Weekend Update segment, nothing but OJ jokes.
Yeah, it sounds about right. Yeah. Natural.
One of the most underrated people that's ever walked through Saturday Night Live's doors.
Rest in peace, Norm MacDonald. Seriously. Yes. Like, he was one of those guys that I always enjoyed, but I didn't realize how good he was, sadly, until he passed. And everybody started playing all the clips of him telling the jokes.
Oh, go back.
You know, the one with the moth. Yeah. Like, that's hilarious.
Do you know Marty Funkhauser from Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I don't watch Curb.
Oh.
I know I need to. There's so much of it that eventually, at some point, I'm going to dive in and just be, you know, I will watch Curb for like 4 months.
I was going to say, go back and listen to the first episode of Norm MacDonald's podcast. It is maybe the funniest hour in the history of podcasting.
What was the name of his podcast? Was it just the Norm MacDonald Show?
I think it was just the Norm MacDonald Show or something like that.
Nice.
But he did a whole segment with the guy who plays Marty Funkhauser on Curb, and they just trade nothing but jokes, and you're like, it's one of those...
Just haymaker after haymaker.
Oh, yeah, you can't come up for air because you're just dying laughing for an hour straight. It's... Oh, I love... comedy is one of my other loves other than sports.
And oh, yeah. No, for sure. Yeah,
we're bringing the roast back into society, which I think is a great thing.
Yeah, no, so, yeah, I agree with that. They did it, but it was weird, like... They did it with... I don't want to say D-list celebrities because they weren't, but they were... For the most part, like B-list, C-list celebrities,
yeah, I think
like,
that's
you know,
fair.
And the people they had on there weren't always A-list comedians. And now that like we've gotten back into, I do agree, there's a better lineup. Like, I feel like there's better choices for celebrities and there's better choices for comedians.
Yes.
They weren't bad. Like, they certainly weren't the classic Dean Martin roasts.
No.
Like, those are all-time,
but
like,
it's like
classic.
A lot like the
they
NBA,
were okay.
It's a lot like the NBA dunk contest, where they may have great dunks, but if they're not big names, they just don't register
with
people.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. Great analogy, Zach. Yeah, I think now, like, people are ready, and I think comedians would be willing to do it.
Because we've gone so far the other way with comedy, now everybody's coming back to the mean, which is just straight-up roasting people Jeff Ross style.
Like, yeah, right.
We're coming back to that.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing to see.
It is a beautiful thing to see. Comedy is it's an art. It really is. By the way, we got some breaking news here. 2024 top 20 recruit Billy Richmond has decommitted from Kentucky.
Yeah.
He tells on three. So that was from Joe Tipton a couple of minutes ago. So, Interesting stuff there. I mean, it's one of those things where, again, it just seems to reiterate the fact that these players are decommitting from Cal and not UK.
I have a question about all this decommitting and stuff. How much was the Big Z billboard? I really, really, like, I'm not even, like, trying to, like, poke fun at UK fans, like, how much money was out of that someone's pocket for that?
That's a good point.
Oh, that's a lot of money. That's probably a couple, I don't know, 10,000, 100,000.
You know, I'm going to look it up real fast. Because Lamar Advertising does a lot of outdoor advertising, and I know this because I looked into it for getting a V-Show billboard. I was just curious.
That
I was
guy
just
needs
curious.
His money back.
I was
I know
just
that.
Curious. Yeah. Lamar Outdoor Advertising pricing. Let's see if it'll show up here as I'm doing this on the fly.
Do you see Kentucky fans are trying to dunk on UConn by like, look, this is five times the amount of people that were at UConn's national championship celebration as it showed up at the Mark Pope press conference. Like, yeah, that's what happens when UConn wins a billion national championships. Like, you're really trying to dunk on the program that's just gone back to back.
I just
their coach just told you, I don't care if you give me $20 million, I'm not coming there.
I'm sorry. I think it was cool. It was a good look for them. I don't care besides that.
I'm not in on Mark Pope at all. Like I don't think Mark Pope's going to a Final Four. I think in 5 years Kentucky's hiring another coach.
Wow. Okay. What I mean, he's done a decent job. At BYU, I mean, he's only going to have more resources.
Right, but at the same time,
what makes you say this?
Right now they're getting a lot of BYU transfers and they're not going to have the top level players they once did. They're going to have a bunch of 25-year-old guys that have been on Mormon missions, and then they're going to get dominated athletically by 21-year-olds in the NCAA tournament when that time comes, or 20-year-olds or whatever the case may be. Kentucky has wasted better talent and done nothing with it. And I just don't think they're going to get that level of talent at Kentucky. I just think there's too many places now that you can win. And look, John Calipari, for all of his faults, won a national championship, went to the Final Four four other times. Mark Pope hasn't even won an NCAA tournament game. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust as a head coach, but I think he's going to be perfectly average. I think he's going to be kind of like what Tubby Smith was after the first 4 or 5 years, where they're 9-10 losses a season. They'll make the tournament, maybe win a game or two, maybe you can get to the second weekend. I just don't think Mark Pope's going to be an elite coach. I just don't see it.
I mean, I feel like it's going to have to be one of those things where UK fans are going to have to get used to a different style.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, and in a way, that's what they've clamored for.
Yeah.
I do think X's and O's wise, like, he plays a much more modern system. As someone who's barely dipped his toe into BYU, I'm not going to fake take. I'm going off of what other people have said, that he's a very proficient X's and O's coach.
He runs a five-out offense, which is why I'm surprised that Big Z didn't stick around, because I think he would have been a perfect fit for that. And we do have to remember that Mark Pope did have to transition to the Big 12, and they beat Kansas at Kansas. They beat Baylor.
That was
big.
They
beat some good teams. I'm not saying Mark Pope's a terrible coach, but look, this is Kentucky. This is supposed to be the Mecca, the gold standard of college basketball. And if that's the case, then they shouldn't be having to get their fourth, fifth option to be their guy. Like, you could have waited a week for Billy Donovan, because Mark Pope, if you couldn't get Billy Donovan, you could have hired Mark Pope this Thursday. And then you could have gotten the guy to transfer the next day. Like, they didn't have to speed it up as much as they did. I think they could have waited for Donovan. I think they could have done more as far as going out and getting another big name. I mean, I'm not trying to sound like I'm dunking on Mark Pope and saying that he's a terrible hire or anything like that. This is supposed to be the gold standard program of college basketball, and it just feels underwhelming.
I don't know. I mean, that's one of those things where everyone keeps talking about Billy Donovan, Billy Donovan, Billy Donovan. And I mean, I feel like here's the thing. I don't think he was coming. Regardless, like, I mean, and that seems to be coming from the horse's mouth numerous times.
Yeah, because he doesn't like recruiting anymore.
And so if you already swing and miss with Scott Drew, I don't think the juice is worth the squeeze of waiting around for a 10 to 20% chance that you were getting Billy Donovan, because then all of a sudden at that point, you're already hearing the flack from U of L. Oh, big boy program. Yeah, right. And then you swing and miss on Billy Donovan, too. It makes the Mark Pope hire seem all the more desperate, I feel like. So you might not like the guy, but I think that he was one of those guys that was one of the best choices available. And whether or not he works or not, I don't know. We'll see. But I very much feel like
So who do you have more confidence in, Pat Kelsey or Mark Pope?
Pat Kelsey, because I think, in a way, there's less pressure.
I totally agree with that.
It's not saying that there's not pressure to do well here. This is a top 10 program. U of L has been starving for it. But at the same time, UK being the 1A of college basketball in terms of size of fan base, you have more crazies. I mean, let's be honest. You just ran out a guy that was a Hall of Famer that, while was struggling in the postseason, still was bringing you top three recruiting classes every year and was having your team spending the whole season in the top 15, typically.
Like, they were in the top 10 every year at some point in Calipari's watch. All 15 years.
That's what I'm saying. Kind of crazy. Like, and they absolutely soured on him and ran him out of town. Like, yeah. I feel like it, as long as there's some modicum of success, as long as there's some buy-in and the energy is still there, I feel like Pat Kelsey will get a longer leash here.
Yeah, especially considering what's happened the last 2 years, the fact that they've won 12 games. Pat Kelsey's a refreshing guy as far as his personality is concerned. Louisville's expectations this year are not, we need to be in the Sweet 16 or be competing for a national championship. Kentucky expectations every year are
our
like
second
that.
Weekend, right.
Our second weekend. That's where their season starts, according to Kentucky fans. Louisville's expectations this year, I think, is if they just do what Chris Mack did in year one, where they went 20-14, 10-8 in the ACC, and make the NCAA tournament, I think people here would be thrilled that first year.
I would even say that I think they'll be disappointed, but if they show great signs of improvement, knock off a couple teams and play in the NIT, and are in that discussion as a first four out.
I think that's fair.
First four out type thing. An Indiana State or a St. John's. Yeah, if they have an Indiana State or a St. John's-esque Seton Hall, something along those lines, I think fans would be okay.
I think so. Now, I do think the standard is the standard, and I think both fan bases is who this applies to. I don't want to see people lowering their expectations just because of what's happened the last 2 years with Kenny Payne. That's the outlier. Louisville's expectations every year should be make the tournament and then go from there. And then the same thing with Kentucky. The standard is the standard as far as they should be expecting to be in the second weekend, expecting to be competing to go to the Final Four. That's where their season begins. And look, all you've got to do is make the tournament. Just ask NC State. They just made the tournament. What'd they do? As an 11 seed, they went all the way to the Final Four. Once you get in, you never know what's going to happen, but you've got to get in.
Right. Yeah, you got to be dancing for a chance to go on a run. No, that's for sure. I guess because of all those reasons, I can understand maybe your hesitation with Pope.
Yeah.
I can understand it. But I do think also, and maybe this is just the washing the taste out of my mouth from Kenny Payne. I do think there's always a danger of hiring an alum, hiring as Pops always talks about it, living in the past.
Yeah, because it was 86 for KP, it's 96 for Pope.
Yeah, there's a danger to that because it makes the breakups all the more awkward.
Yeah.
And then it leaves you scratching your head a little bit, just ever so slightly more, at how come it didn't work with him because he was one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go back to the drawing board, if they go back to the drawing board, it's just going to be one of those things where it adds that extra little twist of the knife, extra little bit of salt in the wound. I understand your nervousness with him. But this is, I say this gently, because I'm not trying to start friction between you and Louie. But how much of that is your opinion and how much of that is Louie rubbing off on you? Because that's been Louie's. Louie's been very...
I thought the same thing. Like, as soon as Pope was the choice, we basically texted back and forth about that. I'm like, I can't believe that they ended up settling for Mark Pope. Like, I was there.
You've been consistent with that. Because I'm not always able to listen to you guys, because I'm busy too,
Like, no, I was doing Roundtable the moment that it broke that Mark Pope was probably going to be the guy. And when that happened, of course, Strebel's meltdown and his reaction was
fantastic.
Glorious.
Right.
I'm sitting there in all my glory. But even then, I'm like, I don't know. Because we had talk all week about, one of the bologna or salami questions I asked on Wednesday was Kentucky's next coach will be a guy that won a national championship. I'm thinking it's going to be Scott Drewer, it's going to be Billy Donovan or Danny Hurley, one of those guys, somebody that's had that kind of success before. And for it to be Mark Pope, it still felt like an underwhelming hire. Now, it's not the Kenny Payne situation because he obviously has head coaching experience and successful head coaching experience. But I think Mark Pope will be a success. But I think he'll be better than Billy Gillespie, for instance. I don't think it's going to be like that.
So you're saying it's not going to be an abject failure?
No. But it's not going to be a disaster. But compared to Kentucky fan expectations, I don't think it's going to measure up. He would, at BYU, if he did this, great coach. They love it there. But there is a standard. Like, when you're coaching Alabama football now, poor Kalen DeBoer has to follow Nick Saban, who's won a billion national championships. If he only wins one, people in Alabama aren't going to be happy about
right,
it.
Right, that's fair.
So, I mean, it's all relative to where you're at. And I think he is a good mid-major to big, like, solid Big 12 program coach. But there's only a few people on this planet that are equipped to be the head coach at a place like Kentucky or Louisville. And I don't know if he's that. We'll see.
I think if he's able to, and this is where I'll go a step maybe further here.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's good enough to get them to the second weekend. I just don't know. I mean, he hasn't, and I'm saying this truly, I don't know. I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just pointing out the fact we haven't seen him yet go on a deep March Madness run.
We haven't seen him win a tournament game.
Right. So I wonder if, I mean, if he's good enough to get them to the second weekend,
yeah.
Something that UK has been clamoring for, something that is their, I mean, well, they would tell you that their standard are Final Fours. I think that's a bunch of bull.
Yeah, it's been 10 years since I went to one, which around here is, that's an eternity.
I'm sorry, like, it's so hard to make the Final Four, to make those things. If you, Pops always says this, and I agree with it 100%. If you made the second weekend of the tournament, successful season. Don't care who you are. You could be disappointed. Like, hey, look, we had a top three team all season long. We had a very favorable draw. Like, we should have been able to make it to the fine. You can be disappointed, but you can't look at the season as an abject failure if you make it to the second weekend.
Yeah,
like, not all seasons are the same. I can understand the disappointment, but still, if you've made it to the second weekend, successful season.
And I think it's a little different than Kelsey having never won a tournament game, because you're doing it at the College of Charleston versus BYU. That's a little bit different.
You're a mid-major, 100%.
At BYU, can get better players. Now, they have restrictions, obviously, because of their affiliations.
Right.
But
their honor code, not social contract.
That's right. Yeah. It's still better than College of Charleston, and he was never favored to win any of his tournament games there. And one of the reasons I think that he took this job is the fact that when you're at College of Charleston, the pressure to get to the tournament is immense, because you have to win your conference tournament can't get in. He can come here to Louisville and go 500 in the ACC, and he's probably going to make the NCAA tournament as long as they have some good wins.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point.
Breaking news from John Rothstein.
Ooh, what do we got?
I don't know if you got, but big man from Arizona, Umar Ballo, I think I'm pronouncing
Bio,
that right.
I think it is.
Yeah, has just told Rothstein that he is committing to Indiana.
That's right.
Well, there you go. So, I don't think I got guy. I was just saying that he canceled his visit to Louisville.
I know, but there was the report that he was going to go take a trip down to Arkansas.
Oh yeah, he was taking a trip to Arkansas.
So
yeah,
that trip also just got canceled.
I gotta say that's a big pickup for Woody. Woodson is doing a lot of work this offseason. He had a very disappointing last year, but already going to work in the recruiting world, going to work in Portal. Indiana's going to be a good team next year. He's doing everything he can to beat the allegations. Because he knows next year if Indiana's not good, he's getting fired. He's on the hot seat. No question.
No, definitely it's a make or break year.
He probably would not still be the head coach if he wasn't Mike Woodson, Indiana alum. It's been that kind of disappointment, but he's helped.
Like, he has saved. He's given himself a little bit more leash with what he's done in the offseason. Yeah.
He's averaged 13-11 last year for Arizona. So he and Indiana's had success with, like, Trace Jackson Davis in recent years. They know how to put centers in the NBA.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how he does up there. As Rummage said, you were thinking if you could at least get him on Louisville's campus, you might have a chance. But unfortunately, that's not the case.
Trey Townsend's another guy from Oakland who.
Yeah.
They're third. Like, he's going to Ohio State. I forget where his first stop is, but he's a guy that worked Kentucky in that tournament game and was kind of the leader of the Oakland team as much as Jack Golke was. So that would be a big pickup for Louisville.
It'd be nice for their front court.
If he came here,
yes,
he would be such a fan favorite.
Oh, God, yeah. He'd be royalty.
But
yeah,
you're always worried when you're doing recruiting and they set visits and you're the last visit. That always makes me 100%. Nervous because I don't know if that guy's actually going to make it here.
Well, especially in this day and age of NIL, and now there's this ongoing thing about signing bonuses, essentially. Like, hey, if you sign with us and don't finish your visits, like, we'll give you X amount of dollars. Like, you do not want to. It used to be, I think, that it helped if you were the last. You could close maybe.
Yeah, it used to regard. Be. That's
now,
what you would want to do.
Not at all. No, you got to be first. First is, yeah.
They, you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, exactly. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. It is the V Show. It's Zachy C filling in with myself and Tanner Bertomesso and for Bobby V today. We'll take a bottom of the hour break. We'll go down the stretch, read a couple of your texts. Want to give a shout out to our friends at Raising Cane's today. Great stuff from them. Big fan of that Cane sauce. Game plan ahead with the Raising Cane's mobile app or by ordering at RaisingCane's.com. Bottom of the hour break. We'll go down the stretch on the other side. It's the V Show. It's ESPN 680 105.7.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-968.
Making it rain indeed. The revival continuing here at U of L as Pat Kelsey has got himself a new recruit. According to John Rothstein just a couple minutes ago, Colorado transfer Javon Hadley has committed to U of L. So a big get for Pat Kelsey and company. Just looking at his stats, he visited yesterday. He was set to make a decision today. Good pickup for the Cards and company. He shot 83.9% from the free throw line, 41.7% from behind the arc. Only took 48 attempts, but he does have a propensity to score. 12 points he averaged last year, 6 boards, 2.4 assists, 1.2 steals. Shooting 53.8% from the field. So good stuff from the St. Paul, Minnesota native.
That's the fourth pickup with Kelsey with the two College of Charleston guys and then the JMU guy. Terrence Edwards, I think. Is that the name, Terrence Edwards?
Yeah, you're right.
Who I thought is, it escaped me for a
who
second.
Is 14th, I believe, in ESPN's transfer portal.
Yeah, he's
ranking,
one of the
so.
Highest rated guys there. Like, yeah. That's a big pickup because everybody just thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yes, indeed.
We did it, Joe.
In 6 games between the Pac-12 and NCAA tournament, Hadley averaged 8.2 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 3.2 assists per game. So the roster starting to come together for U of L. They have 4 now, as Zachy C said. You got to think probably, I mean, does Hadley, is he a starter? Is he, you know, 6th or 7th man? It depends on who else they get.
That's it, yeah. He played a lot with Colorado last year, and that's a team that won a tournament game, and you know they beat Florida in a thriller, 102-100, and that was one of the best shooting teams in the country. So it's not nothing. They go out and get guys that have been in the NCAA tournament. Of course, James Madison beat Wisconsin in the first round last year, so you've got guys that are experienced. You've got the Charleston guys that are going to be able to teach them Pat Kelsey's system right away.
Right.
And so far, we're only a month into it as far as the Pat Kelsey tenure. Not even a month. You can't really ask much more out of Pat Kelsey than what he's done so far. He's done more in a month than KP did in 2 years.
No, he is hitting the layups with the occasional slam dunk, and it's definitely being felt here at U of L. So Thursday they got Ali Khalifa coming in. They got McDonald's All American.
No relation to Wiz.
The former Kentucky commit Jaden Quaintance. Is coming Thursday this week. Also, the Long Beach State kid, whose name I never can say.
Yeah,
he's coming in Thursday.
Quaintance is the big one.
That is the big one. Let's spend 2 seconds, and I'm not trying to lick any sprinkles off any donuts or anything like that. But do you buy into the conspiracy theory with the Ali Khalifa thing that played for Mark Pope? His list is BYU, Kentucky, and Louisville, and some people are saying that he's only putting Louisville on there to not go there and be like a quick victory for Mark Pope and company at UK. Oh, I don't buy it. I understand. I could see the smoke. I don't completely buy it.
I don't believe it because most of the time that's the recruiting sources that do that. Like, oh, he got offered by this school months ago, but this school is actually not that interested in them. So they'll say like, oh, this guy went to Michigan instead of going to Alabama when Alabama stopped recruiting him months ago, just so they can pump that up a little bit. I don't think that's the case here. I don't think he's just putting Louisville's hat on the table. I think he's actually considering him. Kentucky's probably the favorite, but I'm not. I don't buy that conspiracy theory.
Well, who I can't remember Norm something. I can't remember who the assistant coach is, but there evidently is there is a relationship with one of UofL's assistants. I can't remember his name. Help me out. Text line 437-9680. And Ali Khalifa evidently have some sort of connection there. So it would make sense that it's true. But here's one of those things. I'll play the pops game all the time. Let me grant you your argument.
Okay.
If that is the case and you're only doing it to get a quick victory over UofL,
yeah,
that's a sad state of affairs.
Oh, that's
because
not good.
Nobody at UofL is looking at this as an, oh, God. Like, this is not DJ Wagner, where that one hurt, where you were going head-to-head with UK for a while.
Right.
They had family ties. You had family ties. It went back and forth. There was the added element that Aaron Bradshaw was probably going to be, you know, it was going to be a package deal.
That's right.
And you lost. That one hurt. This one, honestly, Ali Khalifa goes to UK. Everyone's going to probably, at least at Louisville, is going to be like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, they'd be right. Like, okay, well, we would have liked to have him, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, no, like, all right, let's, now, you know.
On to the next one.
Now, Quaintance, that would be a big pickup.
That's the one.
I feel like that's the one that, yeah, if people had their druthers, that would be the one to take. The McDonald's All-American. You know, he's tough, he's explosive. Evidently, he's a force on the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he would be a nice pickup, you got to think.
If you go 1-for-3, but that's your one, that's a win.
Yeah, no, I agree with that sentiment. And then now at least you could say you have a starting five too.
You know, you go. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we would see how the lineup would shake out at that point. But I mean, let's not forget, you know, Hersey's still there. You know, so they technically they have five players.
They've got
right
five
now.
Players. They could have a game right now.
They could have a game right now.
Or you could be like the scene in Hoosiers. You know, my team's on
I
the floor.
I was just about to say that. My team's on the floor. So yeah, we will see. But yeah, the news of the day that Javon Hadley committing to the Cards today, the Colorado transfer. So a good get from Pat Kelsey and company. Big weekend as well. They got Karan Johnson, the Washington guard, Trey Townsend, like you mentioned, Oakland big man, Kevin Miller, Wake Forest guard, all coming in this weekend for
spring
Thunder.
Spring game weekend.
I don't know if all of them are staying for the spring game, but they are going to be here for Thunder. And hopefully the weather will be good and everything like that. And that's always a fun time. So you got to think that they're picking a good weekend to be here.
Yeah, it's right now Friday's high 70 degrees and sunny. Saturday, Thunder Day, 65 and sunny. So
pretty much perfect weather.
Otherwise, it holds up.
Pretty much perfect weather.
Yep.
Now, they got Terrence Edwards when it was like tornadoes were coming in here.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we just thrive in bad weather. I don't know.
Maybe weather is just an overrated aspect that we look at.
I mean, I think you're right, but I think it definitely will help.
If I'm visiting a college campus and the weekend I'm visiting, it's like 5 degrees, probably not going there.
Yeah, especially where I don't know where all these guys are from, but I mean, Oakland's in Michigan, so you know that's
not
great
California.
Weather. Washington, rainy, you got to think, and Wake Forest,
North Carolina,
you know, probably a little muggy. So
yeah,
so we don't have to worry about it. None of these are Florida kids that need to have perfect sunshine or anything.
And it's
like
different
that,
so. Basketball versus football, because obviously basketball is an indoor sport.
So. Also true. That's a very good point.
You're not worried about being from Florida and now you're coming up to play a football game and like at Notre Dame or at Michigan or whatever, and it's 10 degrees and snowing.
Yeah, right.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I could understand kids for wanting to pass on that. So big pickup there for UofL basketball. Pat Kelsey continuing to hit the layups. With the occasional slam dunk. I don't know enough about him. I just read the stats. I don't know where he would maybe fit.
If he gets Quaintance, that's a home run. That's a grand slam.
No. That is definitely that'd be up there with Terrence Edwards in terms of a prize piece and everything like that. But this Javon Hadley kid seems like he'll definitely be you got to think at least in the discussion to be in the starting rotation. So good stuff. I don't know if he started at Colorado. Do you? Do you know? Was he a starter?
I believe he came off the bench.
He came off the bench. All right. So he might be a rotation player, but still a good pickup for Coach Kelsey and Company, 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line if you want to be part of the show. Zachy C, Nick Valvano, Tanner Brunemesso in for Bobby V here on the V Show. Last 15 minutes of the show or so before we get out of here. Oh, Matt Cross entered the portal. Name a blast from the past. Had a good year up at UMass. So,
that's right.
Yeah, we'll see where he wraps up his I'm assuming he has 1 year of college eligibility left.
I think that's the case.
Because we're starting to leave the COVID years and everything like that. So I think he's got one more. For sure. So we'll see where he ends his career. I wonder if he follows Chris Mack to College of Charleston. So we'll see. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Hoosiers got a big commitment just now. Yeah, from Omar Ballo. We talked about that. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line.
Jordan Allen just committed to Louisville football.
Oh, he
did. Wide receiver from Buford.
Oh, okay.
For the 2025 nice. Class.
Nice. So good get for the Cardinal football team. What did you make of this is a good segue. We talked about it earlier in the show, but the Penny Boone decommit.
Yeah.
I think that, and this was I believe coming from Diener, which I got to think he's got some pretty good sources that probably rhyme with if I had to bet where he was getting some of this from. But it seemed like it wasn't an NIL thing. It was just more of a, he didn't like where he was on the depth chart. I don't know what exactly he said on the way out the door that I think ruffled some feathers. I believe it was him. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it. I've asked the text line to help me. I haven't seen it on the text line either. But it just kind of, it didn't really seem like, to me, I follow Steve Rummage's thinking that this might be looked at. Yeah, would you have liked to have had a guy that had 1,400 yards and, 15 touchdowns, was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year? Absolutely. Would you like to have him in some form on your team? Absolutely. But if he's leaving because he's third on the depth chart, it must mean the two guys ahead of him are pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was number two in the depth chart going into the spring game, and I think he probably just wants to go somewhere and play, and I don't blame him because he was MAC Player of the Year, had the season that he had last year. But to me, this is more Louisville being good at that position rather than, oh, something went terribly wrong, and I don't think it's an NIL deal. I don't think it's anything bad. I think it's just one of those, not everything's about NIL. I know everybody always wants to lump NIL into it, wants to lump a bunch of other things. I don't think it's that. I think it's more simple than that. I think it's Penny Boone didn't think he was going to be the starting running back, and he wants to go somewhere that he is the starting running back. And
right.
If I'm Louisville, to be honest with you, I think there are other positions that are more in need than the running back room. So if it, that means you can go out and get some extra linemen or go out and get another receiver or two to stretch the offense, I'll take that trade off any day.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, that is one of the positions you got to think you have some depth with. I'd say probably, running back, linebacker are two of the positions that they seem to have a good amount of depth at.
They're saying this running back room might be better than the running back room from last year, which, as we know, with Jordan and Isaac Arendo, that was a fantastic
one and two. Who knew that Isaac Arendo was so fast, too?
Who would have
guessed? I knew he was quick, but he always had such a physical running style, and then he snaps off, a 4.3 at the combine?
4.3 at the combine. He was great. Who would have ever thought, by the way, that Louisville would be getting stuff from Florida State affiliates? Like, Florida State would have never even thought about Louisville football years ago because Florida State has been the perennial power along with Clemson and the ACC.
Right.
But, look, the ACC now is going to get multiple teams in the playoffs, so you're not worried about just, we're Florida State, we'll just go out and beat everybody else. You have to worry about somebody else that could take that second spot because now that's available with the 12-team playoffs. So you've got to be concerned about Pitt, you got to be concerned about Louisville, you got to be concerned about Boston College, you got to be concerned about NC State. But it's just jarring that the Florida State 24/7 room is trying to take Louisville's entire offensive line group out.
I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, it's, what was the final score of the ACC championship?
16-6.
I was going to say, I mean, you could make the argument that Louisville putting up a fight in that game kept them out of the playoff.
No, that's exactly. If they had beaten Louisville to a pulp, if they beat them by 30, I think they make the playoff. And especially the fact that they only scored 16 points, I think, affected them making the college football playoff. I still think they should have got in, but that's a whole other discussion altogether. But you go back, if you ever rewatch that game, if Jack Plummer plays a C game, Louisville wins.
They
were in position to win that game. They just didn't take advantage of Florida State mistakes. And maybe now with a better quarterback and a little bit better running back room, maybe a better receiver room, maybe Florida State feels a little threatened.
Bringing back a dangerous defense again, very experienced.
Which I think this team has a good chance of being better than last year's team. But it's entirely possible that the record may not be quite as good because you've got to go to Notre Dame and Clemson.
You've got a much, much tougher out than you did. Last year was a very favorable schedule for U of L. Not licking any sprinkles off any donuts. They still, you know, performed in those games by and large. But yeah, the schedule will be a little bit more challenging for sure. He is Zachy C. I'm Nick Valvano taking you down the stretch. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. You got any thoughts on the NBA playoffs or anything? I talked about it a little bit with Neil Knuckles Greenberg. You know, the impact of Giannis's injury.
Yeah.
There's a local tie there, taking on the Pacers and everything. Yeah.
I think the Pacers have a real chance to win that series. Tyrese Halliburton is really fantastic. The Pacers are a team that, because they play in Indiana, they kind of get overlooked. And if they don't have Giannis, I mean, ever since Doc Rivers got hired as a head coach, this is maybe the most confounding team in the NBA. Like, they've lost three games, I think, that they were double-digit favorites and lost those games outright. They've blown multiple big leads. I just don't know what to make of them. I think the East is pretty simple. It's Boston, and then it's everybody else. If the Celtics don't win the East, I'm going to be borderline shocked. As far as the West is concerned, the Thunder have the one seed, but I think the Nuggets are still the favorite.
Well, it's such a log jam. I mean, the Nuggets, the Thunder. I mean, I'd even throw the Suns in there.
I'll say this, though. If the Lakers end up as the 8 seed and playing the Thunder, I think the Lakers beat the Thunder because they beat them 3 out of 4 in the regular season. They have more experience. But the idea of people saying they should tank tonight so that they don't play the Nuggets is insane, because then you're going into an elimination game against two teams and the Warriors and the Kings that have played the Lakers really well all season long. So, no, you don't tank the game tonight. Then, I like the play-in format because it makes for compelling television.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't always put the best teams in. But remember, like last year, Miami lost their first game in the play-in, and then they had to win the second one to get into the playoffs, and then they went all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
Only reason why Miami won that game against Chicago in the play-in was because DeMar DeRozan's daughter wasn't there to start screaming.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm so happy she had a math test the next day, because that was the reason, because they asked DeMar, they're like, will she be in Miami? And he was like, no, she's got school, she's got a math test tomorrow. And I was like, yes. We won, barely, but yeah, like you said.
But then the rest was history. Yeah.
Somehow made it all the way to the finals, and then, yeah, we just got in front of a three-headed monster, Jokic.
I will say, you should be excited about the Knicks' potential postseason. I think they've got a chance to get to the conference finals, the way Jalen Brunson's playing. They're relatively healthy.
Willing that team to victory with all the injuries they've had, Julius Randle being, you know, front and center.
Jalen Brunson should be on the Olympic team. That was a big oversight.
Yeah.
You.
I agree with that. We talked about it earlier. I mean, how many players are better than him in the East? How many players are better than him in the NBA? I'd say he's probably eighth, maybe ninth.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
I mean, who would you say? I mean,
Jokic,
Doncic,
Giannis,
Embiid.
The
problem is a lot of these guys are hurt.
Yeah, that's the other part. Would you take Halliburton or would you take Brunson right now?
They're right next to each other. I'd probably say Brunson 8, Halliburton 9.
I think that I would probably take Brunson, barely.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact he's done what he's done with such a banged up team.
And of course,
he's like the fourth leading scorer in the league too. Like, I mean,
it's interesting how Durant and LeBron are still playing in the Olympics 12 years later. Like, normally when you get to that age, you don't want to play any more basketball than you have to, especially LeBron, who's played 21 years. He's old enough to drink as far as his NBA career is concerned. And yet he's playing in another Olympics. Like,
that's a wild stat. No, I mean,
and he's still averaging like 27-7-7. And the previous record for a guy in his 21st year, I think, averaged like 10 a game. And
yeah,
LeBron
right.
is just still LeBron.
Yeah,
it's
God,
crazy.
God bless him. I'm going to be so sad when he
That's
retires.
The day my childhood officially dies.
Yeah,
the
seriously.
Day LeBron retires.
He's one of the only remaining guys. I mean, well, you and I are about the same age. I'm a little bit older than
you. It was weird for us when, Peyton Manning retired, then Tom Brady retired.
And Jeter. All in the same, span of, 3 years or so.
It'll be
so
weird.
All the faces of the game left.
It'll be weird when Crosby and Ovechkin retire.
Crosby and Ovechkin, that's going to hurt. Crosby and Ovechkin. I really thought Ovi was going to get that scoring title.
He's
just completely dropped off this year. So, I don't know. I mean, there's some chances. We'll see if the Caps get into the playoffs. They currently have the 8 seed right now in the wild card. So
we'll I think see. That's about everybody that's on, left. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they do get in, then the chances are my Rangers will crap the bed, the President's Trophy.
Oh,
curse.
The curse. Yeah. Nobody ever wins President's Cup.
In the last like 8 years, nobody's. I don't think anybody in the last 8 years. I could be wrong. I think it's 8. Nobody in the last 8 years has advanced past the second round. If you win the President's Trophy,
I believe that is correct.
The year the Lightning did it. Before they go like back to back,
yeah, they lost to my Blue Jackets.
They get swept by the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Because I think the Blue Jackets barely snuck in, and everyone's like, "All right, yeah, they don't have a shot against them." And then a sweep. Okay.
So here are the teams.
It was one of those times. It was like, this is why the hockey opening round playoffs are better than the NBA because like
it's better than anything.
The last team to win the President's Cup and the Stanley Cup, the 2012-13 Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay.
And so what's happened?
And
the
that
last...
was a dynasty.
Yeah.
So here's the results of the last few President's Cup winners. Bruins last year set the points record, lost the first round.
Yep.
Panthers the year before, lost in the second round to Tampa. The Avs lost in the second round to Vegas. Bruins, again, lost in the second round to Tampa. Tampa lost to the Blue Jackets in the first round. Yeah, it's all second round, first round. Like, the Rangers are the last team to even make the conference finals after winning the President's Cup, and that was back in 15.
Yeah.
They lost to Tampa Bay.
Yep. Yep, I think it was 7 games. I think. Yeah,
I
it was.
So.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Brad Richards, Marty St. Louis, that was good times. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Great way to end the show here on a Tuesday.
Hey, it's the 30th anniversary of OJ, and 30 years ago the Rangers won the cup. Remember they had the day the day that the car chase happened was the day that the Rangers did their Stanley Cup parade.
That's a good point. Yeah. Wow, I can't believe 30 years
June 17th, 1994. There was like a big 30 for 30 about it a few years ago. Like all the famous events that were going
crazy
on
crazy things
time.
That happened at that.
Because, of course, that night was also the NBA Finals, which they cut into to show the car chase.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, my God. I can't. Yeah, it's all coming back. I mean, I was young at the time, but I remember some of that stuff. That was crazy. Let's see here. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. This texter wanted to know what my favorite dinosaur is.
Stegosaurus.
And great choice. It's definitely in my Mount Rushmore of dinosaurs. I don't know why, maybe it was Land Before Time. I mean, the meat eaters weren't doing anything wrong. They were just trying to get some grub. But I always liked the plant eaters.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like considered the good guys.
Yes.
And so I was a Triceratops guy, a Stegosaurus guy. But my favorite one was this dinosaur called like the Ankylosaurus.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He was small and was built like a tank.
Yep.
He just was covered in spikes and like scales, and he had a club for a tail. He was my favorite dinosaur because I was like, man, this guy's just wrecking.
Yeah.
Like T-Rexes left
Louis
and right.
Louis was on, he said Stegosaurus. We asked Ennis the same thing. He didn't have a dinosaur. He's like, there's two man things that I didn't really get into. Dinosaurs, cars.
I'm not much of a car guy. I mean, I do have some favorite cars, but like one of my favorite cars is a Volkswagen Beetle, if that says anything about me.
That says a lot.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, fair. So, but yeah, so you're a Stegosaurus guy.
Stegosaurus, baby.
Ankylosaurus for me. What do you got over there, Tanner?
I don't know. A T-Rex. Like, kind of like Ann said, like, I don't know much about.
So your favorite ice cream is vanilla.
Yeah
I was going to say. I was like, come on, man. That's like.
Yeah. What's the one with the log neck? Long neck.
I mean, there were so many. Like,
I was going to say, that doesn't really narrow it down.
Brontosaurus, like Diplodocus. Oh, my God. 7-year-old me is so disappointed in myself.
Man.
I can't think of the other one that begins with a D. this guy says, good choice, Nick. Thank you. I thought that was a good choice for dinosaur. Yeah, good choices here on the V-Show. We love our dinosaurs. I don't know what Pop's favorite dinosaur is. Probably a plant eater. He's probably a Triceratops.
He's a
guy.
Triceratops.
Yeah, he strikes
me
as a Triceratops guy. A guy who is also very horny. Streeble's next.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job?
How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby B on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-968.
Making it rain indeed. The revival continuing here at U of L as Pat Kelsey has got himself a new recruit. According to John Rothstein just a couple minutes ago, Colorado transfer Javon Hadley has committed to U of L. So a big get for Pat Kelsey and company. Just looking at his stats, he visited yesterday. He was set to make a decision today. Good pickup for the Cards and company. He shot 83.9% from the free throw line, 41.7% from behind the arc. Only took 48 attempts, but he does have a propensity to score. 12 points he averaged last year, 6 boards, 2.4 assists, 1.2 steals. Shooting 53.8% from the field. So good stuff from the St. Paul, Minnesota native.
That's the fourth pickup with Kelsey with the two College of Charleston guys and then the JMU guy. Terrence Edwards, I think. Is that the name, Terrence Edwards?
Yeah, you're right.
Who is, escaped me
who is 14th, I believe, in ESPN's transfer portal.
Yeah,
ranking,
he's one of the highest rated guys there. Like,
yeah.
That's a big pickup because everybody just thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Yes, indeed.
We did it, Joe.
In 6 games between the Pac-12 and NCAA tournament, Hadley averaged 8.2 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 3.2 assists per game. So the roster starting to come together for U of L. They have 4 now, as Aki C said. You got to think probably, does Hadley, is he a starter? Is he, 6th or 7th man? It depends on who else they get.
That's it, yeah. He played a lot with Colorado last year, and that's a team that won a tournament game, and they beat Florida in a thriller, 102-100, and that was one of the best shooting teams in the country. So it's not nothing. They go out and get guys that have been in the NCAA tournament. Of course, James Madison beat Wisconsin in the first round last year, so you've got guys that are experienced. You've got the Charleston guys that are going to be able to teach them Pat Kelsey's system right away.
Right.
And so far, we're only a month into it as far as the Pat Kelsey tenure. Not even a month. You can't really ask much more out of Pat Kelsey than what he's done so far. He's done more in a month than KP did in 2 years.
No, he is hitting the layups with the occasional slam dunk, and it's definitely being felt here at U of L. So Thursday they got Ali Khalifa coming in. They got McDonald's All American.
No relation to Wiz.
The former Kentucky commit Jaden Quaintance. Is coming Thursday. This week, also the Long Beach State kid whose name I never can say.
Yeah,
he's coming in Thursday.
Quaintance is the big one.
That is the big one. Let's spend 2 seconds, and I'm not trying to lick any sprinkles off any donuts or anything like that. But do you buy into the conspiracy theory with the Ali Khalifa thing that he played for Mark Pope? His list is BYU, Kentucky, and Louisville, and some people are saying that he's only putting Louisville on there to not go there and be like a quick victory for Mark Pope and company at UK.
Oh,
I don't buy it. I understand. I could see the smoke. I don't completely buy it.
I don't believe it because most of the time that's the recruiting sources that do that. Like, oh, he got offered by this school months ago, but this school is actually not that interested in them. So they'll say like, oh, this guy went to Michigan instead of going to Alabama when Alabama stopped recruiting him months ago, just so they can pump that up a little bit. I don't think that's the case here. I don't think he's just putting Louisville's hat on the table. I think he's actually considering him. Kentucky's probably the favorite, but I'm not. I don't buy that conspiracy theory.
Well, who I can't remember Norm something. I can't remember who the assistant coach is, but there evidently is there is a relationship with one of UofL's assistants. I can't remember his name. Help me out. Text line 437-9680. And Ali Khalifa evidently have some sort of connection there. So it would make sense that it's true. But here's one of those things. I'll play the pops game all the time. Let me grant you your argument.
Okay.
If that is the case and you're only doing it to get a quick victory over UofL,
yeah,
that's a sad state of affairs.
Oh, that's
because
not good.
Nobody at UofL is looking at this as an, oh, God. Like, this is not DJ Wagner, where that one hurt, where you were going head to head with UK for a while.
Right.
They had family ties. You had family ties. It went back and forth. There was the added element that Aaron Bradshaw was probably going to be, you know, it was going to be a package deal.
That's right.
And you lost. That one hurt. This one, honestly, Ali Khalifa goes to UK. Everyone's going to probably, at least at Louisville, is going to be like, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, they'd be right. Like, okay, well, we would have liked to have him, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, no, like, all right, let's, now, you know.
On to the next one.
Now, Quaintance, that would be a big pickup.
That's the one.
I feel like that's the one that, yeah, if people had their druthers, that would be the one to take. The McDonald's All-American. You know, he's tough. He's explosive. Evidently, he's a force on the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he would be a nice pickup, you got to think.
If you go 1-for-3, but that's your one, that's a win.
Yeah, no, I agree with that sentiment. And then now at least you could say you have a starting five too.
You know, you go. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. So, we would see how the lineup would shake out at that point. But I mean, let's not forget, you know, Hersey's still there. You know, so technically they have five players.
They've got
right
five
now.
Players. They could have a game right now.
They could have a game right now.
Or you could be like the scene in Hoosiers. You know, my team's on the floor.
I was just about to say that.
My team's on the floor.
So yeah, we will see. But yeah, the news of the day that Javon Hadley committing to the Cards today, the Colorado transfer. So a good get from Pat Kelsey and company. Big weekend as well. They got Caron Johnson, the Washington guard, Trey Townsend, like you mentioned, Oakland big man, Kevin Miller, Wake Forest guard, all coming in this weekend for Thunder. Spring game weekend. I don't know if all of them are staying for the spring game, but they are going to be here for Thunder. And hopefully the weather will be good and everything like that. And that's always a fun time. So you got to think that they're picking a good weekend to be here.
Yes, yeah, right now Friday's high is 70 degrees and sunny. Saturday, Thunder Day, is 65 and sunny. So
pretty much perfect weather.
Otherwise, it holds up.
Pretty much perfect weather.
Yep.
Now, they got Terrence Edwards when it was like tornadoes were coming in here.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe we just thrive in bad weather. I don't know.
Maybe weather is just an overrated aspect that we look at.
I mean, I think you're right, but I think it definitely
If I'm visiting a college campus and the weekend I'm visiting, it's like 5 degrees, probably not going there.
Yeah, especially where I don't know where all these guys are from, but I mean, Oakland's in Michigan, so you know that's
not California.
Weather. Washington, rainy, you got to think, and Wake Forest,
North Carolina,
you know, probably a little muggy. So
yeah,
so we don't have to worry about it. None of these are Florida kids that need to have perfect sunshine or anything.
And it's
like
different
that,
basketball versus football, because obviously basketball is an indoor sport.
So. Also true. That's a very good point.
You're not worried about being from Florida and now you're coming up to play a football game and like at Notre Dame or at Michigan or whatever, and it's 10 degrees and snowing.
Yeah, right.
Nah, I'm good.
Yeah, no, I could understand kids for wanting to pass on that. So big pickup there for UofL basketball. Pat Kelsey continuing to hit the layups. With the occasional slam dunk. I don't know enough about him. I just read the stats. I don't know where he would maybe fit.
If he gets Quaintance, that's a home run. That's a grand slam.
No. That is definitely that'd be up there with Terrence Edwards in terms of a prize piece and everything like that. But definitely this Javon Hadley kid seems like a he'll definitely be you got to think at least in the discussion to be in the starting rotation. So good stuff. I don't know if he started at Colorado. Do you? Do you know? Was he a starter?
I believe he came off the bench.
He came off the bench. All right. So yeah. So he might be a rotation player, but still a good pickup for Coach Kelsey and company. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line if you want to be part of the show. Zachy C, Nick Valvano, Tanner Brunemesso in for Bobby V here on the V Show. Last 15 minutes of the show or so before we get out of here. Oh, Matt Cross entered the portal. Name a blast from the past. Had a good year up at UMass. So,
that's right.
Yeah, we'll see where he wraps up his. I'm assuming he has 1 year of college eligibility left.
I think that's the case.
Because we're starting to leave the COVID years and everything like that. So I think he's got one more. For sure. So we'll see where he ends his career. I wonder if he follows Chris Mack to College of Charleston. So we'll see. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Hoosiers got a big commitment just now. Yeah, from Omar Ballo. We talked about that. 437-9680 UPS jobs text line.
Jordan Allen just committed to Louisville football.
Oh, he
did.
Wide
receiver from Buford.
Oh, okay.
For the 2025 class.
Nice. So good get for the Cardinal football team. What did you make of this is a good segue. We talked about it earlier in the show, but the Penny Boone decommit.
Yeah.
I think that, and this was I believe coming from Diener, which I got to think he's got some pretty good sources that probably rhyme with If I had to bet where he was getting some of this from, but it seemed like it wasn't an NIL thing. It was just more of a he didn't like where he was on the depth chart. I don't know what exactly he said on the way out the door that I think ruffled some feathers. I believe it was him. I'm not sure. I haven't seen it. I've asked the text line to help me. I haven't seen it on the text line either. But it just kind of it didn't really seem like. To me, I follow Steve Rummage's thinking that this might be looked at. Yeah, would you have liked to have had a guy that had 1,400 yards and, 15 touchdowns was the MAC Offensive Player of the Year? Absolutely. Would you like to have him in some form on your team? Absolutely. But if he's leaving because he's third on the depth chart, it must mean the two guys ahead of him are pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was number two in the depth chart going into the spring game, and I think he probably just wants to go somewhere and play, and I don't blame him because he was MAC Player of the Year, had the season that he had last year. But to me, this is more Louisville being good at the position rather than, oh, something went terribly wrong, and I don't think it's an NIL deal. I don't think it's anything bad. I think it's just one of those, not everything's about NIL. I know everybody always wants to lump NIL into it, wants to lump a bunch of other things. I don't think it's that. I think it's more simple than that. I think it's Penny Boone didn't think he was going to be the starting running back, and he wants to go somewhere that he is the starting running back. And
right.
If I'm Louisville, to be honest with you, I think there are other positions that are more in need than the running back room. So if that means you can go out and get some extra linemen or go out and get another receiver or two to stretch the offense, I'll take that trade off any day.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I mean, that is one of the positions you got to think you have some depth with. I'd say probably running back, linebacker, or two of the positions that they seem to have a good amount of depth at.
They're saying this running back room might be better than the running back room from last year, which as we know with Jordan and Isaac Arendo, that was a fantastic one and two.
Who knew that Isaac Arendo was so fast too?
Who would have guessed?
I knew he was quick, but he always had such a physical running style. And then he snaps off a 4.3 at the combine.
4.3 at the combine. He was great. Who would have ever thought, by the way, that Louisville would be getting stuff from Florida State affiliates? Like, Florida State would have never even thought about Louisville football years ago because Florida State has been the perennial power along with Clemson and the ACC.
Right.
But, look, the ACC now is going to get multiple teams in the playoffs, so you're not worried about just, oh, we're Florida State, we'll just go out and beat everybody else. You have to worry about somebody else that could take that second spot because now that's available with the 12-team playoffs. So you've got to be concerned about Pitt, you got to be concerned about Louisville, you got to be concerned about Boston College, you got to be concerned about NC State. But it's just jarring that the Florida State 24/7 room is trying to take Louisville's entire offensive line group out.
I mean, it's one of those things where, I mean, it's, what was the final score of the ACC championship?
16-6.
I was going to say, I mean, you could make the argument that Louisville putting up a fight in that game kept them out of the playoff.
No, that's exactly. If they had beaten Louisville to a pulp, if they beat them by 30, I think they make the playoff. And especially the fact that they only scored 16 points, I think, affected them making the college football playoff. I still think they should have got in, but that's a whole other discussion altogether. But you go back, if you ever rewatch that game, if Jack Plummer plays a C game, Louisville wins.
They
were in position to win that game. They just didn't take advantage of Florida State mistakes. And maybe now with a better quarterback and a little bit better running back room, maybe a better receiver room, maybe Florida State feels a little threatened.
Bringing back a dangerous defense again, very experienced,
which I think this depth. I think this team has a good chance of being better than last year's team. But it's entirely possible that the record may not be quite as good because you got to go to Notre Dame and Clemson.
You've got a much, much tougher out than you did. Last year was a very favorable schedule for U of L. Not licking any sprinkles off any donuts. They still, you know, performed in those games by and large. But yeah, the schedule will be a little bit more challenging for sure. He is Zach EC. I'm Nick Valvano taking you down the stretch. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. You got any thoughts on the NBA playoffs or anything? I talked about it a little bit with Neil Knuckles Greenberg. You know, the impact of Giannis's injury.
Yeah.
Especially I mean, there's a local tie there, the taking Pacers. On the Pacers and everything. Yeah.
I think Pacers have a real chance to win that series. Tyrese Halliburton is really fantastic.
Yeah.
The Pacers are a team that, because they play in Indiana, they kind of get overlooked. And if they don't have Giannis, I mean, ever since Doc Rivers got hired as a head coach, this is maybe the most confounding team in the NBA. Like, they've lost three games. I think that they were double-digit favorites and lost those games outright. They've blown multiple big leads. I just don't know what to make of them. I think the East is pretty simple. It's Boston, and then it's everybody else. If the Celtics don't win the East, I'm going to be borderline shocked. As far as the West is concerned, the Thunder have the one seed, but I think the Nuggets are still the favorite.
Well, it's such a log jam. I mean, the Nuggets, the Thunder. I mean, I'd even throw the Suns in there.
I'll say this, though. If the Lakers end up as the 8th seed and playing the Thunder, I think the Lakers beat the Thunder because they beat them 3 out of 4 in the regular season. They have more experience. But the idea of people saying they should tank tonight so that they don't play the Nuggets is insane, because then you're going into an elimination game against two teams, and the Warriors and the Kings that have played the Lakers really well all season long. So no, you don't tank the game tonight. Then the play, I like the play-in format because it makes for compelling television.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't always put the best teams in, but remember, like last year, Miami lost their first game in the play-in, and then they had to win the second one to get into the playoffs, and then they went all the way to the NBA Finals.
Yeah, so, right.
Only reason why Miami won that game against Chicago in the play-in was because DeMar DeRozan's daughter wasn't there to start screaming.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm so happy she had a math test the next day, because that was the reason, because they asked DeMar, they're like, will she be in Miami? And he was like, no, she's got school, she's got a math test tomorrow. And I was like, yes. We won, barely, but yeah. Like you said,
but then the rest was history. Yeah.
Somehow made it all the way to the finals, and then we just got in front of a three-headed monster, Jokic.
I will say, you should be excited about the Knicks' potential postseason. I think they've got a chance to get to the conference finals. The way Jalen Brunson's playing, they're relatively healthy.
Willing that team to victory with all the injuries they've had, Julius Randle being front and center.
Jalen Brunson should be on the Olympic team. That was a big oversight.
Yeah.
You.
I agree with that. We talked about it earlier. I mean, how many players are better than him in the East? How many players are better than him in the NBA? I'd say he's probably 8th, maybe 9th.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
I mean, who would you say? I mean,
Jokic, Doncic,
Giannis, Embiid. The problem is a lot of these guys are hurt.
Yeah, that's the other part. Would you take Halliburton or would you take Brunson right now?
They're right next to each other. I'd probably say Brunson 8, Halliburton 9.
I think that I would probably take Brunson, barely.
Yeah. I mean, just the fact he's done what he's done with such a banged up team.
And of course,
he's like the fourth leading scorer in the league too. Like, I mean,
it's interesting how Durant and LeBron are still playing in the Olympics 12 years later. Like, normally when you get to that age, you don't want to play any more basketball than you have to, especially LeBron, who's played 21 years. He's old enough to drink as far as his NBA career is concerned. And yet
that's
he's playing
wild.
Another Olympics. Like,
that's a wild stat. No, I mean,
and he's still averaging like 27-7-7, and the previous record for a guy in his 21st year, I think, averaged like 10 a game. And
yeah,
LeBron
right.
is just still LeBron.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
God bless him. I'm going to be so sad when
that's
retires.
The day my childhood officially dies.
Yeah,
the
seriously.
Day LeBron retires.
He's one of the only remaining guys. You and I are about the same age. I'm a little bit older than
It was weird for us when like Peyton Manning retired, then Tom Brady retired.
And Jeter. All in the same span of like 3 years or so.
It'll be
so
weird.
All the faces of the game left.
It'll be weird when Crosby and Ovechkin retire.
That's going to hurt. Crosby and Ovechkin. I really thought Ovi was going to get that scoring title.
He's
just completely dropped off this year. So
I
don't know. I mean, there's some chances. We'll see if the Caps get into the playoffs. They currently have the the 8 seed right now in the wild card. So
we'll I think that's about everybody that's on, left. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if they do get in, then the chances are my Rangers will crap the bed, the President's Trophy.
Oh,
curse.
The curse. Yeah. Nobody ever wins President's Cup.
In the last, what, like 8 years, nobody's, I don't think anybody in the last 8 years, I could be wrong, I think it's eight, nobody in the last 8 years has advanced past the second round. If you win the President's Trophy.
I believe that is correct.
The year the Lightning did it before they go like back-to-back.
Yeah, they lost to my Blue Jackets.
They get swept by the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
Because I think the Blue Jackets barely snuck in, and everyone's like, all right, yeah, they don't have a shot against them. And then yeah. Like, oh, a sweep. Okay.
So here are the teams.
It was one of those times it was like, this is why the hockey opening round playoffs are better than the NBA. Cause like,
it's better than anything.
The last team to win the President's Cup and the Stanley Cup, the 2012-13 Chicago Blackhawks.
Okay.
And so what's happened
the
last...
that was a dynasty.
Yeah. So here's the results of the last few President's Cup winners. Bruins last year set the points record, lost the first round.
Yep.
Panthers the year before, lost in the second round to Tampa. The Avs lost in the second round to Vegas. Bruins, again, lost in the second round to Tampa. Tampa lost to the Blue Jackets in the first round. Yeah, it's all second round, first round. Like, the last
nobody's...
team, the Rangers are the last team to even make the conference finals after winning the President's Cup, and that was back in 15.
Yeah.
They lost to Tampa Bay.
Yep. Yep, that was. I think it was seven games. I think. Yeah,
I
it was.
So.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Brad Richards. You know, Marty St. Louis. That was. Yeah, good times. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. Great way to end the show here on a Tuesday.
Hey, it's the 30th anniversary of OJ, and 30 years ago, the Rangers won the cup. Remember, they had the day.
Oh, that's
that,
right.
The day that the car chase happened was the day that the Rangers did their Stanley Cup parade.
That's a good point. Yeah. Wow, I can't believe 30 years
June 17th, 1994. There was like a big 30 for 30 about it a few years ago, of like all the famous events that were going
crazy
on
crazy things
time.
That happened at that.
Because, of course, that night was also the NBA Finals, which they cut into to show the car chase.
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, my God. I can't. Yeah, it's all coming back. I mean, I was young at the time, but I remember some of that stuff. That was crazy. Let's see here. 437-968 UPS Jobs text line. This texter wanted to know what my favorite dinosaur is.
Stegosaurus.
And great choice. It's definitely in my Mount Rushmore of dinosaurs. I don't know why, maybe it was Land Before Time. I mean, the meat eaters weren't doing anything wrong. They were just trying to get some grub. But I always liked the plant eaters.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like considered the good guys.
Yes.
And so I was a Triceratops guy, a Stegosaurus guy. But my favorite one was this dinosaur called... like the Ankylosaurus.
Oh,
because
yeah.
He was small and was built like a tank.
Yep.
He just was covered in spikes and like scales, and he had a club for a tail. He was my favorite dinosaur because I was like, man, this guy's just wrecking.
Yeah.
Like T-Rexes left
Louis
and right.
Louis was on, he said Stegosaurus. We asked Ennis the same thing. He didn't have a dinosaur. He's like, there's two man things that I didn't really get into. Dinosaurs, cars. He didn't have... Either one.
I'm not much of a car guy. I mean, I do have some favorite cars, but like one of my favorite cars is a Volkswagen Beetle, if that says anything about me.
That says a lot.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah, right. Yeah, fair. So, but yeah, so you're a Stegosaurus guy.
Stegosaurus, baby.
Ankylosaurus for me. What do you got over there, Tanner?
I don't know. A T-Rex. Like, kind of like Ann said, like, I don't know much about.
So your favorite ice cream is vanilla.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like, come on, man. That's like.
Yeah. What's the one with the log neck? Long neck.
There were so many. Like,
I was going to say, that doesn't really narrow it down.
Brontosaurus, yeah. Like Diplodocus. Oh, my God. Seven-year-old me is so disappointed in myself.
Man.
I can't think of the other one that begins with a D. this guy says, good choice, Nick. Thank you. I thought that was a good choice for dinosaur. Yeah, good choices here on the V-Show. We love our dinosaurs. I don't know what Pops' favorite dinosaur is. Probably a plant eater. He's probably a Triceratops.
He's a
guy.
Triceratops.
Yeah, he strikes
sure.
me as a Triceratops yeah. guy. A guy who is also very horny. Striebel's next.